For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. This week, the national media has been watching several state elections, Virginia, Kentucky, Mississippi, as a kind of bellwether for where the country is headed as President Trump faces an impeachment inquiry. On Tuesday, Mississippi rebuked Trump's critics, expanding the Republican majority in the state Senate, and a conservative law and order Democrat lost to a far-right lieutenant governor in a race that Trump himself claimed victory for in a tweet. With us again is political analyst Otis Sanford. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris. And a Mississippi native.
Yes. Como Mississippi.
Exactly.
What was the message you got from Mississippi voters on Tuesday?
It's the same message that I've been getting from Mississippi voters for the last 15, 16 years. They are staunch conservatives in lockstep with the Republican Party. And so they will support basically any Republican that's on the ballot.
But what are some of the Republican policies that are really popular in the Deep South, whereas Democrats are making headway in other states?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that the policies that Mississippians like are anti-immigration, less federal government intrusion. They don't want anybody talking about anything related to gun control.
Do they see the economy going in the right direction in Mississippi?
Yeah, well, I think they do. Or they say the economy from a national perspective is fine, because the economy in Mississippi, you know how Mississippi is, it's last in almost everything. But they don't really focus on that too much, because it's always been that way, and it's been that way with the Democratic governors.
Well, Memphis's neighbor just to the south, DeSoto County, voted very solidly Republican. Were you surprised that there was such a big gap between Tate Reeves and Jim Hood in the governor's race? And that was a 61-38 win for Tate Reeves.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, look at the demographics of DeSoto County now. It is solidly Republican and very conservative. You know, a lot of those residents of DeSoto County are former Memphians who left Memphis because they didn't like the politics. They didn't like the racial strife here. They didn't like any of that. They wanted to get to a place where they would be away from Tennessee and Memphis. And so, no, I was not surprised by that. Plus, Jim Hood didn't even campaign much at all in DeSoto County.
Well, one of the reasons you might want to leave Memphis is because of the crime, if you wanted to move to DeSoto County. Mm-hmm. Crime here is still the number one concern for many Memphis residents. So is policing, though, and mm-hmm. there's probably no bigger fear for any mayor of the city than police misconduct. We know what happens when police make mistakes. And that's partly why the Citizen Law Enforcement Review Board was created, to look into complaints about the police department. Now two city council members, Worth Morgan and Kemp Conrad, are proposing that the city council take over that job. Could the city council do a better job of policing the police?
I see absolutely no evidence that they could, Chris. If we're going to have a police oversight group, I think it should include ordinary citizens. They are the ones that are carefully chosen to look into these issues and make recommendations. But it should not be the city council itself. That's just politics taking over everything there. And I just see something wrong about that.
Tennessee conservatives aren't fond of citizens complaining about police. We know this. State lawmakers have even stripped these boards of subpoena power, which means they can't even compel people to come talk to them. So if these boards have no real authority and police have no incentive to follow their recommendations, aren't they just really political theater?
Well, that may be so. But what gives the city council any belief that they will do any more than that?
The issue of CLRB comes at the same time we are talking again about the recent lawsuit over police using Facebook to gather information about local political activists. Mm-hmm. So a judge ruled that MPD violated a 1978 agreement with the ACLU called a consent decree that the city would not conduct unwarranted surveillance on citizens. This week, Mayor Strickland came out saying the city needs to revisit that decree, that its guidelines don't account for technology and social media and make it impossible to work with other law enforcement agencies which don't have similar restrictions. Otis, you've recently reread the consent decree. Does it need an update that accounts for modern technology?
There may be a necessity to include some language that makes it explicit that makes allowances for current technology that didn't exist in 1978 in the legal investigation of criminal activity, because that's what we're talking about here. Investigating suspected criminal behavior, anybody should be able to go on social media and find out what somebody is doing if there is a criminal investigation. But if you're just trying to keep tabs on a non-criminal Black Lives Matter organization or Peace and Justice Center, and you are, you know, creating blacklists so they can't come to City Hall without an escort, sharing that information with other non-government entities like employers, we got a problem with that. And I don't think anything in the consent decree should be changed to allow police to do that.
Well, discussions about the consent decree are ongoing, and we'll be talking more about that, I'm sure, next week. Analyst Otis Sanford joins us each week to talk about politics. See you next time.
Thank you, Chris.
This is WKNO News.